Now Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. And we'll read from verse 46 down to the end. Verse 46 down to the end. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called the Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith do you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Now I want to direct you particularly, although we will look at more verses than this, but I want to direct you particularly to verse 56, and in large measure I want to base my thoughts this evening around the statement there, Joseph opened all the storehouses. So I want to speak to you on the subject, Joseph opening the storehouses. Now verses 53 through 57 of Genesis chapter 41 give an historically accurate record of a 7-year famine which affected ancient Egypt and other countries. This famine was devastating in its severity and widespread in its extent. We read that the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. It waxed sore in the land of Egypt. Verse 56. The verb is one that is used to describe tying something or someone fast. It is used of binding bonds. And in this context, it is indicating that this famine was severe. It held Egypt tight in its grip. It was choking the life out of that land and others. Such was the famine. The people, as a result of famine, who are desperately hungry, who are famished, whose stomachs are empty, they appeal to Pharaoh. They appeal to Pharaoh. They cry to him for bread. And he directs them to Joseph. Joseph, who, knowing the famine would come, has made preparation for it. And as the people come, Joseph opens all the storehouses and sells the food and so on to the Egyptians. He opens the storehouses and for a price sells the food to those who come for it. Well, such are the bare historical facts as we find them presented here. We must read these verses, of course, not simply and solely for their historical interest. If we have eyes to see it, and the faith to receive it, the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation is presented in these verses, under the type of Joseph and his opening of the storehouses, Jesus and his dispensing of the blessings of the gospel, of salvation itself, is to be found. Well, that being so, and with that in mind, let us consider Joseph opening the storehouses. Now, first of all, he opens the storehouses for those affected by famine. He opens the storehouses for those affected by famine. The 7 years of dearth leads to hunger, leads to the people approaching Pharaoh for food, and then Joseph, and that ultimately leads to Joseph opening the storehouses for those who are affected by famine. In other words, Joseph addresses the consequences of the entrance of famine into the lives of these people. Now, God in the gospel is addressing the problem of sin, the consequences of the entrance of sin into the world. And in the gospel, we are directed to Christ, who provides our salvation. Now, like the famine in Genesis 41, everyone is affected by sin. Everyone is affected. The far-reaching effects are detailed for us here. Verse 54, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. Verse 55, all the land of Egypt was famished. Verse 56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. Now these verses are showing the widespread extent of the problem. All were affected. None were spared. In every home the food supplies were being exhausted. Young and old alike were going hungry. The entrance of sin into this world has affected everyone. Over all the face of the earth, sin casts its shadow. The daily news sheets reminds us of the misery and destruction that sin wreaks. The words of Romans 3, written in the first century, remain valid and true in this 21st century. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Sin has affected everyone. It is over all the face of the earth. Moreover, it has produced considerable distress. We learn in verse 55 that the land of Egypt was famished. Another way of putting it would be to say that the land of Egypt hungered. The people were hungry. They were living day to day with empty stomachs. They were suffering hunger. And I want to emphasize, they were suffering hunger. It was a suffering experience. The word is used in Psalm 34 and verse 10. the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. They suffered hunger. The famine was a suffering experience. The people were in distress. Their bodies were weakening. The very young and the old were in immediate danger. This was a season of great, great distress. And it cannot be denied that sin has produced considerable distress. Only a fool would deny. Only someone that is utterly closing their eyes to reality would deny that this fallen world is a world of tears and distress. The entrance of sin has brought into this world sorrow, sickness, and death. And the distressing scenes, which are all too common, and which now in our more technologically advanced era we are more familiar with and are more aware of in terms of a worldwide basis, these distressing scenes, which are all too common in our fallen world, in which the onward march of knowledge and technology is unable to prevent, these are all the consequences, these are all the results of the entrance of sin. Now, the entrance of sin into the world ought to be regarded as a catastrophe. It ought to be regarded as a catastrophe. It clearly is a catastrophe. It clearly is that, but sadly is not regarded as such. In these verses, the coming of the 7 years of dearth, the entrance of famine, as it were, is a catastrophe. It always is. And as people feel the hunger in their stomachs, as they are reduced to considering eating foodstuffs which in normal times they would abominate, and face up to the spectre of death, there is no question that for the people, famine would have been viewed and considered as an utter disaster. Well, sin is no less deadly, and it's no less disastrous, and it is evidence of the willful blindness of the unregenerate man that he does not consider sin to be so. It is a catastrophe of worldwide proportions. And it is worthy of note that sin takes its course according to the Lord's word. It proceeds in exactly the way the scripture declares. No Bible believer is ever truly taken by surprise by the course of a sin-afflicted, sin-cursed, and fallen world. He is not surprised, for his Bible is telling him that such a world is inevitably doomed and will stumble from one disaster to the next. Sin takes its course according to the Lord's word, as did this famine. Verse 54, and the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said. According to the word that Joseph had given. Now in this instance, of course, Joseph was not speaking his own mind. He was not setting himself up as his own authority and himself as some sort of soothsayer. In this instance, Joseph was communicating the previously given word of God. God had showed these things to Pharaoh in a dream, and Joseph declared the meaning of it to the Egyptian monarch. And he made it clear at the time. Chapter 41, verse 39. It was clear at the time. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee
all this, this dream and the interpretation of it. It was a communication from God. These things then, and sin, take their course according to the Lord's word. They take their course according to the Lord's word. There is an inevitability about these things. And when that truth sinks home, we realize just how foolish sinners are when they give no heed to the word of God. Well, sin like famine ends in death. An increasingly severe famine, a famine which is waxing sore, a famine which is unrelenting and unrelieved, will in the end bring death. That is the history of famines. If they do not relent, if they are not relieved, then the corpses will begin to pile up. Sin certainly ends in death. James 1:14-15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Well, in these verses, Joseph opens the storehouses for those who are hungering for food, for those who are affected by this famine. And in the gospel, the Lord Jesus opens the well of salvation for those who are thirsting for everlasting life. Now, secondly, let us notice, concerning the opening of the storehouses, let us notice the storehouses being opened. Joseph gives food to those who apply to him. They go to Joseph, and Joseph opens the storehouses, and he sells on to the Egyptians. He gives food to those who apply to him for it. Now, there are three points of interest here, which I want to take notice of under this heading. First, they apply to Joseph for food as they are directed. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. They apply to Joseph as they are directed. Second, all the storehouses are opened. Joseph opened all the storehouses, which suggests that a great provision had been made for these circumstances. And that, of course, is the truth, because verses 48 and 49 tell us that in the years of plenty, Joseph gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt. He laid up the food of the field, which was round about every city. He laid it up. He gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. All the storehouses are opened. That would indicate the great provision that has been made for these circumstances. Third, food was dispensed upon the payment of a price. Joseph opened all the storehouses, but it is not given away free. He sells it on to the Egyptians. A price must be paid before food and so on is received. Well, taking these points in order, first of all, God in the gospel directs sinners to apply to Christ for the great mercy of salvation. Sinners are directed, they are pointed to Christ for this great mercy. He uses human instruments to point sinners to Christ. He uses those who know Christ, who have found the word of Christ to be trustworthy, as Pharaoh found Joseph to be reliable and trustworthy. He uses such to direct others to trust the Lord. Second, there is an inexhaustible provision made for sinners in the gospel. There is an inexhaustible provision made for sinners in the gospel. Christ's atoning work is infinite in its value. Atonement is made for all types of sin and sinners, and promises are made which are indiscriminate. All circumstances, all types of sinners are covered, as it were, by the atonement. The very worst may come and may find in Christ an abundant pardon, may find in him a provision made for their particular sins and circumstances. Third, salvation is dispensed upon condition that the price has been paid. If there is to be redemption, the redemption price must be paid. If the prisoners of sin are to be released, the redemption price must be paid. Christ has paid that price. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Egyptians must pay with their silver and gold, but the people of God, to them salvation is freely given. Thirdly tonight, concerning these storehouses and Joseph, he feeds out of the storehouses those who recognize his authority. He feeds out of the storehouses those who recognize his authority. Pharaoh emphasizes to the people when they come to him that not only that are they to go to Joseph, but he emphasizes to the people that in these matters, in this business, authority has been given to Joseph. Joseph's word is law. They are not only to approach Joseph as one who may save them from famine, but they are to approach him as one who is their Lord. Pharaoh says to them, go on to Joseph, and what he saith to you, do. Go to him. Be directed by him. Obey his word. What he saith to you, do. You see, Joseph has been exalted. Pharaoh is exalting him. He has been exalted in the land. He appears before the Egyptians in this famine, not only as one who can save them from the consequences of famine, but he appears as a Lord to them. What he saith to you, do. Well, the Lord Jesus has similarly been exalted. Acts 5:30-31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. God has exalted his Son in the business of salvation. Philippians 2:9-following. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Egyptians, when they come to Joseph for salvation from the famine, they must bow the knee to Joseph. They must acknowledge his authority. What he saith to them, they must do. Sinners who come to Christ for salvation must bow the knee to him as their Lord. He is the Lord, Jesus Christ, and whatsoever he says, we must do. Fourthly, all may come and apply to Joseph for food from the storehouses. All may come and apply to Joseph for food from the storehouses. Verse 57, all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore. It was so bad, so severe, so devastating. It was so sore in all the lands. All may come. No barriers are erected. The pathway is clear. It is not hedged up. And it is so that all may come to Christ for salvation. And all varieties of sinners, and sinners from all nations, not only may come, but all varieties and sinners from all nations do come. Marvellous picture of this, an illustration of this, Zechariah 8, verse 20 and following. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. People of all types, people of all nationalities, seeking the Lord. No roadblocks, no barriers. All may come and may apply to the Lord. Fifthly and finally tonight, those who receive food from Joseph are saved from death. Those who receive food from Joseph are saved from death. We have already noted that famine, like sin, ends in death. And therefore Joseph's actions are to be viewed as salvific. They do save people from death. And he was very clear about that. Later on, when he is explaining the workings of divine providence as he understands it in his life, he says to his brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Those who received food from Joseph were saved from death. And those who receive salvation from the hand of Jesus Christ, they receive a salvation, which is a salvation from death, spiritual death and everlasting death. Well, such is the account here in Genesis concerning Joseph, and such, if we have eyes to see it and faith to receive it, such is the account of the Lord Jesus, who is pictured here under the type of Joseph and his actions in saving many, many people. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.